Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. If you're able, let's stand together one more time. We'll pray again and get into the Word this afternoon. We're moving a little slowly, moving through Acts. We were going really fast, covering a lot of ground and leaving a lot behind for you to study on your own. Coming to Psalm 23, just six verses, so we get to enjoy slowing down and digging a little deeper as we go, and I hope you are blessed by that, and I'm excited about it. So Psalm 23, let's pray, and then we'll read the psalm together. Father in heaven, thank you again for the day, for the opportunity together. God, I thank you for everyone who's able to be here this afternoon. I thank you for the opportunities for fellowship and just for your mercy and grace. And I ask as we approach your word now that we would approach it as it is in truth, the very word of God, that you would speak to us through your word, that your Holy Spirit would convict us and guide us and help us, Lord, to be in the truth and walk in the truth. And Lord, please help us to just follow you, to be real disciples. Help us to be faithful in making disciples for your glory. Please be with us now. We pray for those that aren't able to be here. Please heal the sick. Comfort the brokenhearted. Be with those who are struggling with all kinds of things, Lord. There's physical health and mental health and spiritual health. All of those things in our lives are critical, and I just pray that you'll help in every need. Please bless as we read your word. Help me to preach it by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please be seated. We spent all morning just talking about the first phrase in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. We're really going to focus in on the second part of that verse and go a little bit further this afternoon. But we saw the possession this morning, the shepherd. This afternoon, we're going to see the provision, his supply. And he says here, I shall not want. Now, we don't use the word want the way that David used it in the context here, as this was written or translated by the King James translators, but this want is lack. In other words, he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and I won't lack anything. I'm going to have everything that I need, is what he's saying. I want you to consider a few verses with me this afternoon. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Really, actually, let's go to verse 8 first. We'll back up in a second. In verse 8, he says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We see in verse 8, God is able. Can somebody amen that? Amen. I mean, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is his hand shortened that he cannot save? I mean, our God can do anything. He created all things, and nothing's beyond his power. And so we can, amen, we can say, absolutely, our God is able. But if we're honest, sometimes we don't feel like he's able, or we act like we don't think he's able, because we worry, we stress out, we're concerned. But God says, I am able. And here Paul says, our God is able, and he's able to make all grace abound to you. So God doesn't just give us, here's the truth, another truth for you. God doesn't just give us what we need. He gives us more than we need. He gives us abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Our God supplies and he gives us what we don't deserve. And he makes all grace abound towards us so that we always having all sufficiency in all things. So it's at all times in everything we need and in everything that there is, God gives us all that we need. Always. All sufficiency, all things, so that we can abound to every good work. Now, I wanted you to look at verse 8 first because I want you to, now we're going to back up and get the context. Look back at verse 6 now. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So in the context, we're looking at verse 8, where he tells us that God's going to supply everything that we need. He's going to give us everything we need. It's in the middle of a passage that deals with giving. And what he's writing to them about here in 1 Corinthians is this portion of Scripture. There was a famine back at Jerusalem. The saints there were suffering, and Paul had been working to gather up an offering to send back to them. And so what he's saying is, you guys said you were going to give. Now step up and give, and you don't have to be afraid, because God's going to supply everything you need. So you can take out of the abundance God's given you, and you can give to others in their need, and you can be sure God's still going to take care of you even when you give. God loves a cheerful giver. When I read my Bible, when we're talking about God's provision and God's supply, here the psalmist David is saying, I shall not lack anything. I'm going to have everything I need because God is my shepherd. But I just want you to get this. The Scriptures, from start to finish, are never about what we should take. It's never about us taking. It's always about us giving. It's about the fact that God has given to us, and we're supposed to give to others. God's going to supply every need that we have. That's what Philippians 4:19 says. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. God's going to supply everything that you need. How's he going to do it? Because he has everything. Everything is his. He has all the riches of glory, and he's going to take care of you. So it's his provision. It's his supply. Why don't you go back to Psalm 23 now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So we can see that we will not want. You see that he makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. Now, I said this morning that sheep are dumb. I also said that they follow their leader. Last week, Brother Nelson brought in a lamb and to show the kids. And that little lamb, he brought it into the fellowship hall, and everywhere Nelson went, if it kind of got distracted or whatever, Nelson would talk to it, and it would just go to Nelson and follow him around. When was that? Was that last week? Yeah. It's been a long week. I don't remember how long ago that was. So Nelson talks to this little lamb, and it follows him around. The kids were just having a great time. This is what our shepherd does. He leads us, and we hear him, and we follow him, and when we follow him, he's going to take care of everything. Now, sheep are not smart. Sheep will wander. Sheep will get into trouble. They need the shepherd to lead them. When he talks here about making you lie down in green pastures, that's because there are certain places where the grass is good. I don't know if you're aware of this, but for some livestock, like sheep, there are certain plants that will kill them if they eat them. They're poisonous to them. And the sheep doesn't know the difference. The sheep will just eat anything that's there. So it's important for the shepherd to take them to where the good grass is, the things that are going to be beneficial to them, okay? You know what happens when you follow Jesus? He's going to take you to the places that are good for you. He's going to help you to avoid the things that are poisonous to you. He's going to help you to find that green pasture, that good grass, that good nourishment that you need for your soul. That's where the Lord's going to take you. He's going to help you to avoid things that are dangerous and deadly for you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to supply your every need. He makes you lie down in green pastures. Not only are the green pastures are the place where you get the nourishment you need, it's also a place of protection. The sheep can lie down in safety. You know what that means? If the sheep can lie down, that means that they're protected from predators. Okay? You know what a sheep's defense is from the wolves? Well, their only hope is to run away. They don't stand and fight. They don't stand a chance. They have to depend on their shepherd to guard them. We'll talk more about his protection later, but I just want you to get that. He brings us to a place, because he's providing for us, a place of peace and a place of safety, a place where you don't have to worry. I asked you this morning if you ever worried any this week. And we worry about all kinds of stuff. We stress about our family issues. We stress out about our finances. We stress out about our health. We stress out about political situations in our country. I mean, we continue to just consume and be overwhelmed with all of these stressful things. And the Lord says, follow me, and I'll take you to a place where you can lay down, where you can rest, because he is taking care of us. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, the still waters, there's a lot that this could talk about, but in this area, in this region, most of the water you get this idea of beautiful, like mountain brooks and streams and stuff. But the reality is, in this area where David would have been, there's not a lot of that. You need those peaceful, calm pools of water where good, clean water is to drink. The contrast between still waters is rushing waters, and that would be the idea of a flash flood, would be what we would call it. So over there, they have these valleys. They call them wadis, and most of the time, they're what we would call like a dry riverbed. And we'll talk about this later too, but the idea of the valley of the shadow, because it's a desert region, you get down in those wadis, and there's shade there. The problem is it's a shadow of death, because they're very, very dangerous. Because unexpectedly, flash floods can come, and it's not still water, it's rushing water that will certainly kill you and everything that's in its path, okay? Everybody with me right now? Okay, so the opposite of still water would be these rushing waters, these flash floods, and they come out of nowhere. You're in the middle of the desert, and all of a sudden they come. Where'd they come from? Because up in the mountain, there was a big rain or a snow melt or something that happened miles and miles and miles away where you would never expect water to come, suddenly comes rushing in and kills everything in its path. And so the idea is that he's going to take you to a place of safety and a place of peace. And that's what God does for us. He brings us to green pastures and still waters, a place of provision, a place of peace, and a place of safety. And how about this? Tell me you don't love this. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. How often does he do that? I read that God daily loads us with benefits. I read that I need to die to myself and take up my cross daily. I read that the outer man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day. Every day I come to Jesus. Every day I can sit at the feet of my teacher, my savior, my master, my rabbi. Every day I can follow closely to my shepherd, and he restores my soul, my life, everything. That's talking about all the stuff that's on the inside, right? My heart, my mind, my spirit, he's restoring that, and he does that. Now let me help you out real quick this afternoon. I'm not going to preach much longer, so I need you to get this. You need that every single day. And when you're a Christian, when you have Jesus as your shepherd, and you're not following him, and you're not being restored by him daily, it has an impact on you greater than you realize. And the time that you go without being refreshed by him and restored by him, it has an exponential negative effect. I go a day without reading my Bible or praying like I should. And I'm not saying that you didn't read it. I'm saying you didn't really read it. I'm saying you didn't get in it till it got in you. I'm saying that maybe you checked it off a list, but you weren't really sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's not the same thing. And it may be that you didn't even read it at all. But you do that for a day or 2 days or 3 days or a week or several weeks or a month. And I'm telling you, it has a compounding negative effect on your heart and your mind and your spirit. And we need that refreshing every single day. The truth is, you need it moment by moment. I'm amazed by this, because there was a time in my Christian life that I did not get in the Word every day. I didn't start my day in my Bible. I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you the truth. I went a lot of time as a Christian not walking in the Scriptures. But then I've learned that even if I start my day with prayer and Bible reading, it's not always the same, because I'm not always engaged. I'm not always really in fellowship with God. I'm not seeking his face. I think sometimes rather than seeking God's face, we just seek his hand. You know what I mean by that? We're looking to him, what are you going to get? I need something from you. I want something from you, rather than, God, I want to know you. But when I come to him and I want to know him, he makes himself known, and I get to sit at his feet and I get to learn of him and I get to walk with him and I get to follow him, and he restores my soul. And we desperately need it more than we realize. Have you ever, anybody here ever worked outside? It's springtime. Everybody's starting to get some stuff done. Okay, just real quick. Have you ever worked outside? Okay, all right, just checking. There's sometimes when you do that and you're really thirsty and you know it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm just dying. I got to get a drink. And there's nothing better than water at that time. Like, I'm a sweet tea guy, but there's sometimes you just need water. Okay. But have you ever been doing stuff and just kind of gotten busy and not even paid any attention, and you reach for water and you start to take a drink, and all of a sudden it's more refreshing than you expected? Like, I didn't realize how thirsty I was. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I think of sometimes when I think of this restoring of the soul. Like, I was thirstier than I knew. Like, I needed to be restored more than I need. I needed refreshing more than I realized. So he is the one who restores our soul. He's the one who renews our heart and mind day by day. He's the one that we go to for the refreshing of our spirit. And we need it not just to start our day, but we need it moment by moment. And it's a beautiful thing that I can be restored in my spirit moment by moment throughout my day. And it's little things, right? Like, it's prayer and it's Bible study for sure. But it's also when I walk outside and I just watch the wind blow through the trees. It's just when I stop and notice a bird perched on a limb. It's when I see my kids laugh, right? It's when I watch the clouds blow through the sky. It's when I look up at the stars at night. It's when I'm driving down the road singing along with the radio, worshiping Jesus. I mean, it's so many things throughout the day that you just remember him. And just in remembering, he refreshes you. And he's always there, guys. He's always there. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. So we see his provision. We see, we saw this morning, the possession, the Lord is my shepherd. We see the provision, his supply, that he is taking care of us. We will not want. I want to close up this afternoon from Matthew chapter 6. If you'd find verse 25, Matthew 6, beginning at verse 25. He told us this morning who he is and what he is. The Lord is my shepherd. That's who he is. That's who he is. He is the Lord God Almighty. What he is our shepherd. I want you to consider the words of Jesus. Beginning at verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. This, when you read that phrase, take no thought, what it means is don't worry. Okay? Everybody with me? Could you just say the two words, don't worry, with me? Ready? Don't worry. Anybody need to be reminded of that? We're not going to sing a Jamaican song. I'm just saying, don't worry. Don't worry. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. Don't worry for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. And I'm just amazed at how this plays out in daily life in my world. Like, how many times a week does somebody in your family have the conversation like, hey, what are you going to wear tomorrow? I got to figure out what I'm going to wear. What are you going to wear? What am I going to wear? And how many times a week, I mean, this is far worse, what are we going to eat? What's for lunch? What are we going to do for supper? Like, we talk about this all the time. What we're going to eat, what we're going to eat, and what we're going to eat, and then what we're going to wear. And also, what are we going to eat? I mean, that's the way we live. It's like it's a constant thing in our lives. And the Lord says, don't worry about that stuff. Nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, meat, and the body more than raiment, clothes? Behold, the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. God's given you grace for today, so live in the grace he's given you for today. Don't worry about this stuff. And I want you to notice there's some commands here the Lord gives. He says, first of all, don't worry. But then he says, consider. So what do I do? Well, he says you can look outside and you can see the birds and the flowers and you can know that God's taking care of them. And if he takes care of birds and flowers, you can be sure he's going to take care of you. You're made in his image and he died on the cross for your sins. He took care of those things. He's going to take care of you. So don't worry. Trust in him. It's his provision. It's his supply. God's going to take care of us and you will not lack. You will not want. I'm going to ask you to stand with me.